following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcasting Network. For a full list of our shows, as well as breaking sports news and engaging feature stories, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com.
Welcome to The Leftovers, brought to you by the Underdog Sports Network, with Josh Dunn, Anshu Khanna, and Dan Bauer. Hello and welcome to The Leftovers. It is Wednesday, August 1st. I'm Josh Dunn. I am joined this evening, as we record on Tuesday, by Anshu Khanna and Dan Bauer. Guys, I know this is a big day for you guys here on Hump Day, not only because it's Hump Day, but also because it's the MLB trade deadline here at 3 o'clock on our time in the Central time zone and 4 o'clock Dan's time. How you guys feeling this evening? We'll start with you, Dan.
So excited to talk about where all these players are going to be Hump Day-ing in new locations come tomorrow. So very excited.
Aren't you? Did you have enough to kind of keep your Twitter hands busy there today while you were watching these trades unfold?
Oh, yeah. There was so much refreshing going on. My fingers sore from all the refreshing.
Love it.
It's a really refreshing day.
Well, let's go through some of these. So there were a few big ones, and I'm just going to name a few, and then obviously you guys touch on, you know, the ones that you feel like were the most impactful, and then if there were a few maybe that I missed, I'd love to hear your takes on some of those as well. But the big blockbuster was Chris Archer on the move. He ends up in Pittsburgh. I, for one, didn't see this coming. I knew Archer could be traded. I heard yesterday that they were taking final offers for Archer, but he ends up in Pittsburgh. We had Wilson Ramos heads to Philadelphia. One of the big things was Bryce Harper was talked about early in the day as potentially being able to be on the block, being a potential move. But he ends up staying put. We also had a swap for Giles for Osuna. So Osuna, the troubled, embattled closer, ends up going from Toronto to the Astros. So obviously that's just a few of the trades that took place. We saw a ton of these. But Dan, of these that I just mentioned, or even some of the ones that I didn't mention, what stood out to you as maybe a surprise and something that could really help one of these teams down the home stretch?
Well, going with one thing you did mention, and then I'll throw in one thing you didn't. The fact that the Pittsburgh Pirates are buyers at this point in the year is crazy. I mean, we were talking earlier this year when we were doing our baseball preview show just how bad that we thought they were going to be this year. Obviously, a lot of their young guys really playing above and beyond their years and really coming into their own, and they're making moves. So between Chris Archer and then picking up the Rangers closer Keone Kila, I mean, those are two big moves, and they're going for it. And shout out to them, and just very surprising. You mentioned it. Chris Archer on the move was – Pittsburgh was not a location that anybody was really talking about for him until the past day or two. So Pittsburgh is the big one, and I think the big winner of the day.
Do you think the return in prospects Austin Meadows and Tyler Glass now – obviously, Taylor Hearn, a part of this trade, and two other players that they've yet to name. Do you think that's enough of a return for Archer? Obviously, Archer's struggled a little bit with injury this year. He hasn't exactly produced at the level that he did last year, for example. But do you think this return was enough of a haul for Tampa Bay when you let Archer go?
Enough of a return? Yeah, I mean, the nice part for Pittsburgh is you have – team options on Archer's deal for 2020 and 2021. So, I mean, it was going to take some bigger prospects, but at the same time, Archer, again, you mentioned it, not having the same caliber year he's had of late, but if he can regain that velocity, it's just a big question mark. So you're not going to get absolutely premium top tier prospects for it because of that, but you also got pretty solid guys to flip for him.
Anshu, anything here else here that stood out to you? I mean, obviously, like I mentioned, there were a lot of trades I didn't even mention. There were a lot of teams that are kind of on that cusp of being a playoff or being a wild card team that were making a lot of moves. Obviously, the Brewers were buyers at the trade deadline. The Atlanta Braves made a lot of moves. The Orioles were obviously the biggest sellers. So what here stood out in your eyes, Anshu?
Well, I guess two major things. One is, I agree with Dan that Pittsburgh as buyers is just not something I saw coming. I thought that giving up Glasnow and Meadows is quite a bit. I mean, it's not quite Eloy Jimenez and Dylan Cease, but it's quite a bit for a good pitcher in Chris Archer. So seemed pretty fair value there. But, you know, I thought I've said it repeatedly on this show. You're always looking for the idiot at the poker table, and that idiot is the Orioles. Like, they just do not know how to do this. Like, they don't value prospects the same way. They don't know how to cultivate their own pitchers. And the biggest, you know, symbol of that whole thing is the Kevin Gausman trade to the Braves is just absurd. Like, the guys they get from Atlanta, a very deep farm system, I mean, they basically get just afterthoughts of that system. Encarnacion and Cumberland are just whatever. They do get $2.5 million in international slot money, which is important for them as they pursue a guy by the name of Victor, who is supposed to be the next really good prospect compared to Victor Robles. But, you know, it just, that trade is, they got just totally screwed. And Gausman is a very much a potential number two, maybe a number one, like an ace type of player. And they did not have to give up anything to get him. Like, it's just crazy to me that deal went down. And I thought that was a trend. When you look at what the Brewers gave up for Jonathan Scope, that's a trade I really like. I didn't see that coming. I thought the Brewers would absolutely prioritize pitching. Dan and I, we talked about this all year. They didn't try to get a starter at all. They get Jonathan Scope. They're going to move him out of his natural position, put him at shortstop. But that infield, actually, that whole lineup for the Brewers is pretty dangerous. When you think of Aguilar, they got Shaw at second, Scope at short, Moustakas at third. You know, Braun, Yelich, Kane, you know, they're pretty loaded. They're going to have to do that because their starters they leave something to be desired. But I thought that those two things were big here on trade deadline day.
Yeah, you bring up a great point with the Orioles. So let's just run through the trade, the players that they end up trading here during this season. So Manny Machado obviously was the big one right after the All-Star game there. Zach Britton goes to the Yankees. Jonathan Scope, you mentioned. Kevin Gausman, Brad Brock, and Darren O'Day for, like you said, prospects that just don't seem to move the needle that much for this farm system. Obviously, a lot of time to be there to tell for sure, but it just seems like the Orioles don't seem to know what they're doing in that front office. Dan, what are your thoughts on the way they're kind of structuring this rebuild?
Yeah, even I'll support what Anshu's saying. Most of their prospects they're getting, especially in that Atlanta deal, are a bunch of guys that nobody's even heard of. I mean, Anshu and I spend a lot of time looking at prospect rankings, and we nerd out on this stuff. And as a lot of these deals are coming through for the Orioles, even going back to the Machado deal, it's like, who are you kidding for this guy? I mean, the Braves have one of the most absolutely loaded systems in Major League Baseball. And the fact that you can't get a couple top tier guys, I mean, I'm not even saying you have to get one of their 1 through 5 prospects, but at least get somebody like 5 to 10 or 5 to 15 out of what you're giving up. It's just absurd what they're getting for this. And yeah, I mean, it just goes to what Anshu said. These guys do not know how to flip prospects. They don't know how to develop their pitchers. The number of pitchers that they've had leave their system and then all of a sudden turn in to top tier, you know, 2-3 starters for somebody else and couldn't crack their system is out of this world. So if you're an Orioles fan, this is not how you want to see a rebuild done. And I'd say even a little bit with some of that with Tampa Bay as well. I think they have a little bit of that, of not really getting the value that they should have received, even though we mentioned, you know, the Archer deal seemed fair. You probably could have pushed for a little bit more. So again, I think that both those teams just didn't get the value that they should have got for what they were flipping.
So maybe a team that did seem to get some decent value in the Dodgers. This is a team in the NL that you know, proved to be buyers with the Machado deal. They also add Brian Dozier here at the deadline. Dozier and Machado tied for fourth among active infielders over the last 4 years to have 143 home runs each since the start of 2014. What do you think Dozier does to add to this bat, these bats here in L.A.? Obviously, we've talked about the pitching staff struggling a little bit. Kenta Maeda seems to be figuring things out, but they still have some injuries. Obviously, Kershaw working his way back. What do you think what the Dodgers were able to do to get one more bat here? Aren't you?
I'll take it, yeah. You know, they've been linked to Dozier since last year. Then they traded for Logan Forsythe from the Rays, and then ultimately Forsythe becomes a part of this trade to get Dozier. You know, I don't really understand it, honestly. Like, I probably would have – they barely gave up anything. Again, this is another example of maybe the Twins just realizing they've got nowhere to go here, and they'll just take what they can get at the deadline. I'm shocked nobody offered more for Brian Dozier. This is a guy who is – worth 5 wins above replacement the last 2 years, which is crazy good. Like you said, a huge power hitter for the second base position. You know, on top of that, like for the Dodgers, though, there's not really a lot of room for Dozier. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you think of their lineup, you got Bellinger and Muncy, and then Justin Turner's coming back this weekend. You've got, obviously, you trade for Machado. You got Kike Hernandez. Matt Kemp makes the All-Star game. Jock Peterson's awesome against left-handed pitching. I mean, you've got that was just off the top of my head. I assume there's a bunch of other guys. Like, they're really, really good. And to trade for Dozier, I'm not sure if they'll, you know, I hopefully he's not, like, upset about a lack of playing time, because I just don't really see where he fits in their order. They're just so freaking loaded. It's insane. And that's without Corey Seager. So I thought their assets could have probably been better used on a pitcher. I think they could use another pitcher. But at the end of the day, they're to me, the favorites for a reason in the NL. They've got so much talent top to bottom, batting and pitching. And as long as Kershaw's healthy, it's tough to envision anyone else winning that NL.
All right, so let's bring it full circle. We saw a ton of trades. We saw a lot of high-profile names moved here at the trade deadline. I would say that this is one of the more active trade deadlines we've seen. You know, not just here in the baseball season. We saw this in the NBA this year. It seems like teams are doing more and going out and making sure that they at least attempt to stay relevant. So, Dan, who do you think moves the needle the most here at this trade deadline? Who puts themselves in the best position to be more competitive than they were yesterday or 2 days ago?
I hate to piggyback off what Anshu did, so I'll do one piggyback, and then I'll give you one other team we didn't mention. So the piggyback is definitely the Dodgers. But to a little bit to Anshu's credit, where Dozier fits in that, you know, it's a very crowded infield now. Anshu mentioned Muncy also. I mean, Chase Utley as well. You still have to fit in there, and if Corey Seager gets back for the playoffs, which I don't think he's supposed to be back, right?
He's just done
completely. So, I mean, good protection for this year. One team that we haven't talked about is the Houston Astros with the Asuna deal. And if you guys remember on Sunday show, Anshu, you asked me what's your worst case scenario as an Indians fan, and I said either the Red Sox or the Astros adding a big bullpen arm, and the Astros add arguably the biggest one in Roberto Asuna as soon as he comes back off the domestic violence suspension. If assuming he's healthy, that unbelievably moves the needle for a Houston team that very much needed one more bullpen arm. And all of a sudden, this team scares the living daylights out of me. Boston doesn't fill, you know, doesn't do what they need to do. I think they needed to add some serious bullpen help as well. They make a nice move for Ian Kinsler from the Angels, but I believe that's just a rental for the rest of this year. But again, that's, you know, it fills a need for him at second base, but it doesn't really move the needle like it needs to. Unfortunately for me, I say Houston very much moves the needle. I would say the Dodgers, but I just don't think anybody in the NL is going to beat those top AL teams. So by process of elimination, I'll say Houston actually moved the needle, even though it was just one player as compared to people like the Dodgers and Braves who added a handful.
Yeah, I mean, Ozuna's been one of the best young closers in the game when he's on the field. He's had some mental health issues. Obviously, he's had some domestic violence issues. So the question for him is going to be if he can stay on the field. But if he does, you know, obviously the swap for Giles for Ozuna could prove to be one of the bigger deadline moves. We'll see. I think he's eligible to come back this Sunday from that suspension, if I'm not mistaken. You mentioned the Red Sox. You know, the Red Sox obviously not doing a ton at the deadline, like you said. The Yankees made a trade for J.A. Happ. I think this one was a couple days ago now, but this was a move that the Yankees were looking at specifically to combat the Red Sox, as Happ has had such a good career against Boston. So, Anshu, do you think the Yankees have started to separate themselves with all these moves that they were able to make leading up to the trade deadline from Boston?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, the Yankees are six games back of Boston right now, so it's no lock that they're even going to get a home playoff game. They might have a one-game playoff, and, you know, for a team that we've talked about with that lack of really great starting pitching, including your boy Severino, Josh, of late. But,
yeah, it's been horrible.
You know, they I mean, they're, you know, that's like the opposite of what the Yankees want. That's a worst-case scenario for them to get into a one-game playoff. I know their bullpen right now, I know it's second only to the Indians in Dan's mind, but, you know, when you look at that group that they have, like, when they get to the sixth inning with a 2 or 3 run lead, it's all over. So, you know, like, I think that the Yankees right now, despite that 6-game deficit, you know, if you were restarting it now, I would say, yeah, the Yankees are better. They positioned themselves well, especially with Chris Sale going on the DL today, which is another huge thing. Shoulder inflammation, nothing to mess around with.
Yep.
But, you know, a 6-game deficit is going to be tough to make up against a really good team in Boston. So, I mean, yeah, like, all things being equal, I think the Yankees even the playing field, but they're not equal. And so I don't think they've done enough, and that puts them at a huge disadvantage heading into the playoffs.
Okay. And do you agree with Dan that Houston does a lot here at the deadline to move the needle? I know you've been high on what the Brewers have done.
Yeah, I mean, the Brewers screwed up, honestly. Like, they needed to spend some prospects and get a big pitcher. I mean, I know they probably weren't in the Archer talks. Like, they were probably in them, but there's no way they could match Glasnow and Meadows, I don't think, even though I think Glasnow's a little bit overrated, but I like Meadows. Like, I don't think the Brewers had those types of prospects to give up. So if they were out on that, I mean, maybe they could have traded for Gausman. That would have been an awesome deal for them, in my opinion.
Matt Harvey was out there.
There's a waiver deadline now next month, and Matt Harvey will get moved during that month, and as will James Shields, I think. So, you know, there's still opportunities for the Brewers to add, like, a number three type starter. I mean, Harvey obviously has the ability to be better than that, but he's also a complete head case, so you never know. Shields is a big game pitcher, as we know all too well, but I don't think the Brewers will have done enough to win the NL, which is what, you know, they were in position to do that, and instead it was the Pirates surprising everyone in doing it. So, but to Dan's point, I think the Astros with Osuna, that, I mean, as good as Giles has been at his best, that is what Osuna has been pretty consistently. And you alluded to his age. I mean, the dude is 23. Like, mm-hmm. He's barely ever faced a hitter that's his age, let alone, like, you know, the dominance that he'll probably exhibit against inexperienced players down the line. So I really like that move for Houston. I think the Yankees did the most. I think the Indians did well in kind of smaller ways. But in the AL, it's, you know, it's the Yankees and the Astros and the Indians and maybe the Red Sox and everyone else. So it's really about what those teams did. I didn't think the Red Sox did much at all, other than trading for Ian Kinsler. And so the other three teams really, to me, rose above the Red Sox.
Anything to add on trade deadline before we move on to just a bit of NFL news before we wrap up by either of you?
I just want to bring up Bryce Harper because we talked about it, Dan. I want to give you credit here because I thought your question about the Nats selling off Harper was just completely ridiculous. And then, like, immediately after the show, there were rumors that, you know, potentially they were bandying Harper about, including to your Indians potentially. So credit to you. I never thought that would even be a thought. It sounded like they were thinking about it. They trade Brandon Kinsler today to the Cubs, who's, you know, whatever, he's a pen guy. I still think that they made the right move not trading any of those guys. But my guess is it was too little too late anyway. You don't just throw a deal together for Bryce Harper. Like, that's something that takes months of thought and consideration in terms of assets. So credit to you. I mean, I think that was maybe the biggest storyline heading into today was whether or not Bryce Harper and the other guys that they have, the other vets they have, would get moved.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, did you have something to add, Dan?
I was going to say, well, I appreciate the shout out. I don't get a lot of credit for being right on stuff on the show, so
aww,
I very much.
You give yourself plenty. Well, you know, Bryce Harper and the Nats, I mean, if there was any thoughts that he was going to be moved. He wasn't playing like it today, that's for sure. They had 19 runs through the fifth inning against the Mets. Mets have roaring comeback right now. They're now down 19-1 in the seventh. So they're hitting the bricks off the ball. So we did want to touch a little bit on some NFL news. We had a big contract extension. Our boy Zach would love this news.
But
Stephon Diggs becomes one of the highest paid, if not the highest paid, receivers in the league. He gets $40 million guaranteed. It's a five-year, $72 million extension. Obviously, Diggs had that huge catch in the playoffs last year. Anshu, what did you think of the dollar number that was put on a guy who really, you could argue, is not even a top 10 receiver in the league?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a strong argument to be made for that. I mean, look, he 850 yards last year, 900 the year before, 15 touchdowns over three NFL seasons. It's, you know, that's very good, but it's like, first of all, the last year was Diggs' first even somewhat healthy season, and secondly, like, he still catches 64 balls, but he's not like a big receiver. I know that we live in an era where we've got, you know, Odell Beckham and Antonio Brown as really good, you know, smaller, slighter receivers, but I don't see Diggs being that type of player. And while he produced with some suspect quarterbacking, I wouldn't have given him this money. I don't think they needed to. I think it costs them one or two of those really good defensive players as they come free in the next few years. I think that they are loading up, obviously, with their core that they have, but football is not really like a four or five man game. I mean, you need to be able to pay your entire team. And while I respect Mike Zimmer as a coach, I think that this is a lot to invest in just a couple players. So I wouldn't have done it with Diggs. I think that he's really good, but I wouldn't have gone this high with him.
I mean, they're definitely not one to not throw out some money. They paid Kirk Cousins, I believe it was an $84 million number this year. They get
fully
Diggs
guaranteed.
On, yeah, they get Diggs on a big deal. Dan, any thoughts on this Diggs extension?
Yeah, I'll agree with you guys that I think that is an absolutely absurd amount of money to give him for a guy who finished 25th last year in yards as a receiver. I mean, there's 24 other guys who can make an argument that maybe they should have got a bigger contract. So, I mean, that's a pretty absurd, you know, way to go about it. I mean, even if you look at touchdowns, it's got, you know, he's technically top 10, tied with a bunch of other people at eight. So to give him essentially number, you know, was it number one overall paid receiver right now?
Top five, Mark, for sure.
Yeah.
So to give him that for what he's produced is out of this world. So, I agree with Anshu. I think it prevents you from signing what you really need in Minnesota, and that's bolstering a kind of aging defense over there.
I like it when we all agree. It doesn't happen often, but I think we'll all agree on this. We're going to go with, oh, by the way, is mine. I'm going to start is that training camp is in full effect right now, guys. We have the NFL Hall of Fame game tomorrow night as you're listening to this on Wednesday. It's the Bears versus the Ravens in glorious Canton, Ohio. I went to school just about 15 minutes down the road from where this game is played. I can't wait for football. I know we have a big fantasy football draft coming up here in just a couple weeks, which we're all looking very much forward to. But as the Hall of Fame game comes near here like this, I just get super stoked about it. I can't wait for football, and I know you guys feel the same way. So like I said, I feel like we can agree on a couple things as we close out this show. But Anshu, what did you have for Oh, By the Way?
I got goosebumps with you talking about that. I freaking love football. So I'm so ready for it. It's like, I just feel like it's been forever. We've dragged through a couple rough weeks here. I think the audience will definitely agree with that. There's been some slow days here, but you know, we're back. Once football gets going, there's, you know, there's no rest for the weary all the way through the NBA season. I believe I read somewhere that this last weekend we just had was the last time we won't have football until next February. So we have, what, six straight months of weekends of football, which is awesome. It's just the best. But what I was going to talk about was football, and that is not NFL or college football, but Canadian football, which is starring the one and only Johnny Football this week. Named the starter against his former team in the CFL. And if you were ever going to get me to watch a Canadian football game, it would be this week watching Johnny Football out on the field try to reclaim his career and get back to the NFL.
Nice. Interesting story. Yeah, he's playing against his former Tiger Cats, the Montreal Alouettes.
Right.
Love it.
And he got traded this whatever, like last week, and he's already starting for his new team. So I don't think the playbooks are as robust as the NFL.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on Johnny. I know Dan would like to see him do well again. Dan,
let's
what do you
not
have?
Talk about let's not talk about that. Let's focus on a Cleveland team that actually brings me some joy as compared to the other one. But we talked a lot about, in our baseball segment to kick off the show, some really lopsided trades. The Indians, I think, made one of the most fair, best for both sides trades of the day. They finally get some outfield help in Leonis Martin from the Detroit Tigers and give up in shortstop prospect Willie Castro, who's a very good prospect and a guy who definitely could have used a change of scenery. The Indians have a couple guys in their system who are highly ranked shortstop prospects, and obviously we have Francisco Lindor for three plus more seasons, so not really some room for him. So you give him up and you add some instant outfield help and a guy who's controllable for a couple of years. So shout out to them for, you know, both those sides of making, you know, just one of those deals that helps both teams out.
Thanks for taking us home, Danny. I appreciate you guys both being on the show this evening. Sorry I missed you on Monday, and I know Dan will have another guest host on Friday, so be sure to tune in on Friday's show. I will not be able to join, as I will be living the live music life. So enjoy the show, Dan. For Anshu Khanna, Dan Bauer, I'm Josh Dunn. This has been our hump day version of The Leftovers.